Scripture reading this morning is found in Matthew chapter 26, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 26, reading verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
In John chapter 4, you will remember that Jesus has gone out of his way in order to visit a certain woman. He had a divine appointment with a woman who would meet him at the well. He's in the village of Sychar. He's passing through the region called Samaria. Ordinarily, good Jews wouldn't pass through Samaria. They would take a longer route and go around Samaria to get to their goal. Jesus is on his way from Judea, down near Jerusalem, to go home to his home territory in Galilee. But it says here in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4, he needed to go through Samaria. He didn't need to from a physical standpoint. There was another way to go. But he needed to do this because he had a spiritual mission to accomplish. So it was urgent for him that he must go through Samaria. And when he came to the village of Sychar, he stops by the well. It's high noon. The sun is hot. He needs a drink. He and the disciples all need something to eat. He sends the disciples into the open market in Sychar to buy some food that they can eat. And while he's waiting for them, this woman comes to draw water. And Jesus initiates a conversation with her. Something, again, that normally Jews wouldn't do. So she was amazed, and she came to have a growing knowledge of who Jesus was. First of all, she understood that he was just a Jewish man. Why are you, a Jewish man, talking to me, a Samaritan woman? And it went from there to her understanding that he must be a prophet. And that's down in verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Well, then she leaves Jesus by the well, and she rushes back into the village of Sychar, and she calls all the villagers together, and particularly the men gather, perhaps because of her reputation. And she says, "Come and see this man who told me all things that I've ever done." And look at the words there in verse 29. "Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" This might be the Messiah. And then finally, when the men follow her out, they come to the well. They meet Jesus for themselves. They hear his own words. And now in verse 42, this is the end of the whole story, verse 42. "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" You see the progression of their knowledge about who Jesus was. From a simple Jewish man to a prophet to possibly the Christ, and now a conviction that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, I've titled this short message now, and I'm going to try to do this in about 10 minutes, The Urgency of Our Mission. Now, what I'm going to do is to use another language Bible. God has allowed us the privilege of learning and able to use several different languages in our teaching overseas. One of them is the Sango language from Central African Republic, and it's a language I speak almost as well as I do English, very comfortable in it. Now, you see this picture, you don't know the kind of load that that donkey is carrying. Why? Because you don't see the whole picture. You see some members of your church who are just, they're doing some little assignment, and you think, oh, that's probably all they're doing to serve the Lord. There may be a whole lot hidden there. They may be carrying a very heavy load. Because when we see the whole picture, we see that that donkey is carrying far more than just that little bit that you saw in the first picture. When you see the whole picture. Here's another picture. This is a 7-ton Mercedes transport truck hauling baggage and people across the Sahara Desert. But you don't see the whole picture. Now you do. Now you see they really do need a ladder to let people get up on top of that load. Do you know, I believe it is true, more or less. Sometimes the church does better than this. The new church that we've just joined as we've moved back into the Grand Rapids, Michigan area, I think we do better there than this. But it is said that on average, 80% of the work to be done in a church is done by 20% of the people. And likewise, 20% of the work is done by 80% of the people. Because we've not all gotten serious about why God has placed us here on this earth. Now, I'm not here to scold you, but if there are people here among us today, as surely there are, and you know in your heart you've really not gotten engaged in the work of the local church, you're letting those who are willing to do it carry all the work. Number one, it's not fair. And number two, it isn't the way God designed it. He designed it so that every believer would find a place to serve God, a way that would fit him best. And everybody together accomplishes God's work. Well, I'm going to use this text, but using it from the Sango language Bible. And then I'll put the English verse up there too so that you will understand it. You can follow along as I back translate from the Sango in your verses, in your Bible. So the first point we're going to make here is that there is a legitimate offer. We're going to read verses 30 and 31. So I put it up here in front of you in Sango. Verse 30, ala sigigi na kodro na ala guinalo. This is a tonal language, so it may sound a little bit like I'm singing the words. Every syllable has its own pitch in relationship to the syllables before it and after it. So I back translate verse 30. They come out or came out. It can be either present or past tense, depending on the context. They came out from village, Kodro, and they go to him. They come to Jesus. Verse 31, Tonganawali ni ahoawe, a disciple ti Jesu, a hundalo mingi, alatene, rabbi motekobe. I back translate verse 31. Tongana, there I went right into the, the sango again. When the woman, it's actually when woman the, ni is the, it always comes after the noun. When woman the had gone, while she was gone to get the men and bring them out to meet Jesus, disciples of Jesus, the ah at the beginning makes it plural, the disciples of Jesus asks him much. They say, Rabbi or teacher or master, you eat food. I'm saying to you, this is a legitimate offer they made to him. He was in a human body. He was hungry. It was time for him to eat. Physically, he had a need. They had been sent specifically to get the food. They've brought it out, and they're offering it to him now. Jesus legitimately needed to eat. Well, let's go on. In the English, I just read to you from the New King James Version, then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. What do we see in these verses? First of all, the situation. I've described it to you. Secondly, the offer. Here, Master, eat. A legitimate offer. Now we go to the second point, a confusing claim. I find this in verses 32 and 33. In the Sango, first of all, verse 32. Me lo tenen ala, miek na kobe tite so I hinga pepe. I back translate to you. But he said to them, I have food to eat. Literally it says, I am with food to eat. I am with it. I have it. Miek na kobe tite, that you don't know. I have food to eat that you don't know about. Verse 33. Tonga soa disipla tenina popotiala, benijo agana kobina lo. Well, even if you don't understand the words, you sense the confusion in their question just by the way I read it to you. I translate. So the disciples said among themselves, some person bring food to him? And again, present and past tense, it can mean either depending on the context. Did some person bring him food? The English. Verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? What do we see in these two verses? First of all, the claim of Jesus. I have food. Really? If you already had food in your over-the-shoulder bag that you're carrying, why did you send us into the village to buy food? So they've got to be a bit confused. And now we brought it back to him, and now all of a sudden he wants to pull it out and show us, oh, you didn't need to buy food, I have food here. Well, no wonder they're confused. So in verse 33, they ask this question. What? While we were gone, maybe somebody brought him food? Well, let's go on to finish this passage. A legitimate offer, a confusing claim, a spiritual urgency in verse 34. In the Sango again, verse 34, Jesus atenena ala. I back translate. Jesus said to them, food of me, they don't have one single word to say my food, and the modifiers always come after the noun, so it's just food of me, my food, we would say in English, is to do the thing that he who sent me wants. I am here to do the thing that the one who sent me wants me to do. And to do work of him all. And to do all his work. To accomplish what he sent me to do without leaving any part of it undone. I read the English text. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, you remember in the scripture reading this morning, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, talking to his disciples, he said, my heart is heavy. I'm facing something that is just a huge challenge to me. It's a burden to me. And then to his heavenly Father, he said in his prayer, oh, that you would take this cup from me, that I wouldn't have to suffer what you have sent me here to suffer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So what is it that we're looking at here in this verse? Just three quick points. First of all, it's a daily necessity. Second, it's a spiritual mission. And third, it's an urgent priority. Daily necessity. Jesus needed to eat that food that they brought out from the village, and undoubtedly he did a few minutes later. But in the meantime, he said, guys, this is a teachable moment for you. There's a point I want to make to you. Just as the physical body is urgent to take on that physical food daily. Oh, you can get by a day or two without it. You could go a week without it. After a couple weeks, you wouldn't be moving around much. And then you die. Why? Because food is a daily necessity. Now, in the same way that the physical body has that physical hunger, Jesus is saying to his disciples, the soul must be fed, it must be maintained, it must be provided for, and the thing that makes your soul strong, that keeps your soul healthy, is a focus on constantly, daily, doing what you know God wants you to do today. Now, we understand very well, we're not so naive as to think that God has called everybody in this room to be a pastor, a pastor's wife, a missionary's wife. But I do know that wherever God has placed you and whatever occupation God has led you to, he has a purpose for you to accomplish, and you can touch the people in your office and in your classroom, kids. You can touch the people in your neighborhood in a way that your pastor and your missionary will never be able to do. God has placed you where you are. And if you are not serious about the mission for which God has placed you here on this earth, then you and I have very little in common. And I'm not saying I'm the perfect example for this. Some people just drift in and out of church, and they're satisfied to just let everybody else serve them. And you're happy if somebody else is willing to do all the work. Oh, I'm being fed. I'm very satisfied with this church. I love the fellowship here. I'm telling you, there's more to life than that. God has left you here in this world to do something. And you know, we don't know how quickly our lives are going to be taken from us. Yesterday, we got a text from our daughter and son-in-law. And they told us about members of their church that have been close friends of ours for years. In fact, they support us $70 a month. They took off yesterday morning in their own small private plane from the executive airstrip just behind their house, literally A big door goes up on the back side of their garage. Their plane pulls out onto the taxiway. And they took off from Zeeland, Michigan, just several miles from the end of the runway, just after takeoff. The plane crashed and they were both killed. You get up in the morning and you don't know that you're going to make it to the end of the day. What are you going to do for the Lord Jesus today? This is a daily necessity. It's a spiritual mission. I have food to eat that you don't know about. And my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. Spiritual mission. And to finish his work, I'm going to go all the way to the cross, Jesus said. I'm not going to stop halfway, regardless of what it's going to cost me. I've got to stop. So in conclusion, let me just make these points to you. Serving God is our daily food. And you should not be satisfied unless you eat that food. If you're satisfied without any knowledge that you are accomplishing God's will for you, then you're missing something very important in your spiritual life. Secondly, God wants you to share his urgency about impacting the world. What are you doing to touch the world around you for Christ? And lastly, you won't greatly impact the world without feeling strongly about why God has put you where you are. Dear Father, I pray that you will accomplish your purposes in our hearts. Bless the rest of the services today. Help us to become serious about what you have placed us here to do. In Jesus' name, amen.